OWC Radio number 40. I've got two guests this week. Our featured guest is James Gregson. And, of course, I'm going to do the three random questions with Greg. But first up, we're going to have Mike Potter. And he's on to promote MacStock Conference and Expo. That's right, MacStock. And OWC is a sponsor. Check it out. And it is OWC Radio number 40. I am Tim Robertson, and this is going to be a little bit longer of a show because not one guest, two guests on this episode. And the first guest is Mike Potter. He's already here. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing, Tim?
Good. Now, you are a podcaster yourself with For Mac Eyes Only, and you've been doing it for quite a long time.
Yeah, we're in our ninth season. I started calling them seasons. It didn't seem to make sense to go by show number anymore.
Yeah, after that long, why not? I like the idea of seasons, too, because it does break it up really nicely.
Oh, it works out really well, because in fall, that's about, let's see, I think I started in November of 2006. So fall is a nice break point. Kind of matches up with the TV seasons, too.
Let me ask you a question as a fellow podcaster. Yes. What year... or maybe even month, who knows. What year did you have to stop explaining to people what a podcast was?
I think I'm still explaining it to some folks, to be honest. But probably about 3 years into it, so around 2009, 2010, something like that.
It's nice when you finally, well, it's kind of like a radio show, but it's online, but you don't really listen to it online. You listen to it on your iPod. It's nice when you didn't have to explain that anymore, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, some folks in their car now, you know, they're listening to it.
Most people. So. I kind of did an informal survey a couple years ago, and I found out that the majority of the people who at least listen to the shows that I do are listening to it on their commute to and from work. So we're in someone's car right now. Pay attention. That guy behind you is riding too closely. So
he's riding too close. Watch out.
Just tap your brakes a little bit just to let him know.
I had a great train ride into downtown Chicago for many, many years, about 10 years. And my old iPod Photo did me really, really well for all those years. But now I'm lucky enough to have a car that I can just stick the MP3s directly onto. So,
car itself. You put it on a little stick or something, a little USB stick?
Yeah, and from the stick, I offload it to the hard drive in the car.
That's pretty cool. I'm still doing the iPhone thing. I use Downcast.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I like it simply because it's always with me. I listen to the majority of the shows in the car, but for instance, earlier today I was mowing my lawn, so I had my Nakamichi Bluetooth headset, and I'm listening to podcasts while I was mowing the lawn.
Nice.
I got to be selective on which shows, because some shows, the volume is just too low. And I want to reach out to those guys and say, hey, crank up the volume on your mics or something because I can't hear you over the lawnmower. But thankfully, most shows are getting better at that nowadays.
We learn so much from our listeners. I've learned so much from my listeners, including how to crank up that volume a little bit just to make sure that everybody can hear it in all the conditions they're listening.
Yep, absolutely. So the reason I asked you on the show today, Mike, is and listen, if people are listening to a lot of different podcasts, they've probably heard about this, but this is kind of big news for OWC and for me personally, and I wanted to have you on this episode of OWC Radio as soon as possible so we can make an announcement and tell people what's going on. So what's going on in June?
In June, something really exciting. So we are holding a conference in June, June 20th to be precise. It's a one-day Mac conference, and we're going to be bringing together all the Apple fans who care to come out and visit us. It's going to be all about community, all about information, and we are just packed full of speakers from throughout the Apple community, which is why, as you said, folks may have heard about this already. We have Allison Sheridan of NoSillaCast. She's coming in. Julie Keel of Sci-Fi Tech Talk. Guy Searle of MyMac.com. Chuck Joyner from Mac Voices is going to be joining us. Tim Robertson.
No, not that guy.
Not that guy?
No.
He's not showing up.
Good.
Dave Hamilton is coming in, and Gene McDonald from App Camp for Girls. So all those folks are going to be in and speaking all day long, and it's just going to be a real fun day.
I think this is a great idea. The reason that I'm excited is that OWC is now a sponsor of the Max.conf conference.
Yeah, and brand new.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier. Obviously, we've been working together for a couple weeks now to make this thing happen, and it is official now. So when you go to the Max.conf conference, and I hope a lot of the people out there listening makes the drive, makes the flight to Chicagoland, because it's going to be a really cool event. It is the very first event of its kind. So this way, if you come to this one, you could say 10 years from now, you know, I was at the very first Max.conf.
I've been to the first Max.conf.
I was at Max.conf, yeah. You survived the event. So we want people to come out. And OWC is going to have a presence at the Max.conf Expo. What that entails is still in the works. We're going to get that figured out. But we are going to be there. You can meet some OWCers at Max.conf. And honestly, it's happening basically in OWC's backyard. You're going to be at the McHenry County College.
Yes, McHenry County College. It's a fantastic conference center they have there. Holds up to 350 people, actually.
But, wow.
Beautiful stage. And we have two breakout rooms reserved. One is a one-to-one kind of networking breakout room, and then we've got kind of a green room / interview room for the podcasters who are there, both those who are speaking and those who are not, I should point out. So if you are a podcaster and you're coming in but you don't happen to be speaking that day, by all means, use the facilities to broadcast live, as it were, from Max.conf.
Absolutely. That'd be really cool. I would love to see if half the people in attendance has a microphone in their hand. That would be awesome.
Well, if nothing else, I expect to see a lot of iPhones in the audience.
Oh, yeah. I think that's kind of a given. So literally, this college, the McHenry County College, is north of Chicago. So if you fly into Chicago, it's less than an hour drive north.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I should probably explain where Max.conf came from. Max.conf is, well, it's just a really cool name, I guess I should say.
But number one, yeah, that's an awesome name.
It's an awesome name, but it came from the fact that I'm in Woodstock, Illinois, which also, by the way, is OWC.
Yep.
And so I, you know, I'm never one to pass up a good pun. So Max.conf Conference and Expo is what it is. And yeah, that's where the name came from.
I think it's a fantastic name. I think it'll look great on T-shirts. Of course, it's got that callback to Woodstock, you know, the old hippie concert that happened in the
Woodstock.
60s.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is even cooler because it's about high tech. It's about broadcasting. It's about hearing from people that maybe you've only ever heard on your iPhone or your iPod. This is your chance to meet them in person. And honestly, I've met, well, I think almost everybody now that's speaking at the event. I've met just about everyone. I've yet to meet a Mac podcaster that I didn't like. It's just a great bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we had our first meeting just a week or so ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we met for the first time, a little less than a week ago.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because I've been saying this on a couple different podcasts now, and it's really the truth. What Max.conf really is about bringing our communities together. As you said, this is the opportunity for folks to meet that podcaster they've been listening to for many, many years. And we're bringing not only the Apple community as a whole together, but all these little individual communities that are part of the greater whole. And, you know, I talk about that on my show a lot. Being an Apple fan is all about the community.
I've said that on this show and other shows in the past, that I was never a huge fan of Apple as a corporation. I don't think you're supposed to be. It's a corporation. What I was always a fan of is the products and the culture and the people that made up that demographic. I always liked those people. And, of course, for years and years, I would meet those people in person at the Macworld Expo in San Francisco. Well, the Macworld Expo is no longer happening anymore. It's on hiatus, which is code word for it's dead, Jim.
Yeah, talk about your TV seasons. When you hear a show's gone on hiatus,
yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, yeah. And so there, I think there was a big need, or at least a desire, from a lot of people to still have an event. Now, as the first event, we're not, it's not going to have, you know, 50,000 people or 20,000 people, and maybe it never will have that many. But I think because of the location, it's in Chicago, and almost any place in the United States and around the world will fly direct to Chicago. And it's not a far drive from Chicago Airport, and there's plenty of transportation, plenty of hotels. It's a time of the year that's always nice outside. It's springtime. Actually, technically, it'll be summertime at that point. And
summer solstice. There you go.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's just an opportunity to get together in a nice area and have a good day. And maybe, I know this year it's one day, but maybe it'll expand in the future. Who knows what the future holds. But I think that the location, the type of event it is, I think that this thing could have some legs to it. I think it could go a long time.
Yeah, we've been kind of missing that big conference feel, or even that little conference feel here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, the big ones take place out on the West Coast, some on the East Coast, but that's about it. You know, so if you are in the Midwest, anywhere in the Midwest, anywhere in the heartland, let's say, it's really not that far to get here.
Well, I tell you, I know there's people coming from all over the world to this event.
Oh, gosh. I'm just amazed at where folks are coming in from. We have Don McAllister coming in from the UK. We've got Gazmaz from mymac.com, also from the UK. We've got folks coming in from Poland and Holland. And I'm told Australia. I haven't seen that myself yet. Canada, of course. I mean, we have folks not only from both coasts, but from all around the world. It truly has become an international event in just a very short time.
Absolutely. And I mean, this thing didn't exist a month ago.
No. Only in my brain, Tim.
Right.
Only in my brain.
So from your brain, a month later, you have people from all over the world coming to the Chicago area. You got to. I hope you're proud of yourself, because I think this is that could almost be. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I'm proud of the community. That's what I'm proud of.
That's true. Absolutely. Yeah. And it is the community that's making this happen. And it's all these podcasters that's kind of help spread the word. And that's what we're doing here. Now, we're also going to be posting more information up on the MacSales.com blog. So it's blog.MacSales.com. You can go there. If you go to show notes number 40 for OWC Radio, you're going to find a link over to the max.conferenceandexpo.com website, as well as for Mac Eyes Only. And here's something that you probably don't know. You're going to have Guy and Gaz there from the My Mac podcast, yes?
That's absolutely correct, yep.
Did you know Guy and Gaz actually didn't start the My Mac podcast?
You know, someone mentioned that to me.
Yeah, I started that show, and I retired from that show in 2009 to launch the original OWC Radio. I didn't do that first podcast by myself for the first few years, from 2004 to 2009. My co-host at the beginning was a guy named Chad Perry. I'm actually bringing Chad Perry with me to MacStock, so it's going to be the original MyMac hosts and the new MyMac hosts. We got to get a picture of that, right?
Yeah, we have not only the original MyMac, but also MyMac.com, the next generation.
There you go. Yeah. Everyone likes the next generation better. So let's go. Let's turn to you a little bit here, Mike.
Get Gaz to dress up as Worf, though?
No, I think more appropriate would probably be Guy. I mean, especially when you see Gaz and Guy standing next to each other. Guy's a lot bigger than most people think if you've never met him in person. So he's definitely Worf.
You know, if I may real quick, just real, real quick, I did want to give a shout out to Barry Folk, too, by the way, for the
Midwest
Mac Barbecue. This may have even been on your agenda, but while we're talking about community, I mean, goodness gracious, when Macworld was canceled this year, put on hiatus, as they say.
Yep.
Barry said, you know, I still want to see these people. And so it was really Barry who got the ball rolling with the Midwest Mac Barbecue. He picked June 20th as the date. It was just going to be a get-together of some folks that he knows. And that is still happening, by the way. That's going to be happening right immediately after MacStock. And that's going to be in Des Plaines, Illinois. And so it's kind of really a double header of a day.
Yeah,
so you
absolutely.
In, You know, be prepared for a long day of fun, because that's really what it's going
to
be.
So the Mac Stock is 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then the barbecue, I believe, is 4 p.m. till the last person leaves?
Yeah, I've never gotten Barry to commit on an actual start time on the barbecue, or an end time, for that matter. So, yeah, roughly around 3-ish in the afternoon it's going to start and run until we all go home.
I know I'm going to both. I've already signed up for the barbecue, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that everyone that goes to Mac Stock also goes to the barbecue, because, look, you have a good, fun day at Mac Stock, and then it's time for some good barbecue. I mean, you can't beat that, especially it's June. You got to go to a barbecue.
You got to go to a barbecue.
I think there's a law about that somewhere.
and you do need to sign up for the barbecue separately. So if you do go to max.conferenceandexpo.com, and sign up for Mac Stock, there's also a link on there for the barbecue. So be sure to follow that through and sign up if you'd like to go to that as well.
And I will have a link in the show notes for episode number 40 as well, just in case you can't write the address down on the dashboard, in the dust on your dashboard.
That's right. They're driving. I forgot about that.
They're driving. Yeah. So let's talk about you for a minute. Why did you start for Mac Eyes Only? And by the way, is that a pun on James Bond movie? I always thought it was kind of a pun on the James Bond thing.
It probably is in a little way. Why did I start for Mac Eyes Only? I actually began podcasting in 2005. My first podcast was called Coffee House to Go, and that was to support a small press literary magazine that I published. And I was doing that for about a year, and somewhere along that line, I don't know, I just kind of got the idea in my head that maybe I wanted to do a Mac podcast as well, because I am a tech guy by profession and just at heart. And, of course, I had a real passion for the Mac and for the community, so I just kind of decided that would be a nice companion podcast to Coffee House to Go. And so I launched that in 2006, and about a year later, it became my only podcast.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about podcasting?
The favorite thing about podcasting really is the interaction I have with the listeners. I think I mentioned to you when we met that some of my best friends are folks I've met because I've been doing the podcast. I've never met them in person. Gary or Gazmaz is a great example of that. One of my best friends in the world, never met the man in person for 9 years, and Mac Stock is my opportunity to do that. So there's a lot of folks like that, though. I have some good friends down in Florida, Lisa and Steve. I hear from them all the time. And it's not just about Mac Stock. I mean, they genuinely are my friends. We trade emails about all sorts of topics, family, friends, vacations, all kinds of things. And that interaction I have, not only helping people solve their problems, which is a big part of why I do the show, but also just to establish those relationships. I have a lot of fun at it.
As someone who podcasts himself, two shows every week, I'm kind of in the same boat. It is that community. It is the people that you meet. My best friends are because of publishing for 20 years and podcasting for however long it's been. And I can guarantee you, for you, because it was like this for me, making those friendships and how much it came to mean to you, I bet that was unexpected, wasn't it?
Oh, it was completely unexpected. And I was just thinking as you were talking there that if For Mac Eyes Only ended tomorrow, and I have no plans to do that, but if it ended tomorrow, these friendships would continue for many, many years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I started MyMac.com at the time it was MyMac Magazine in 1995. And one of my best friends started writing in 1995, and he still is one of my best friends. And if I wouldn't have created that way back then, in the dark days of Apple Computer, because you remember what it was like back in, you know, the mid-90s, I never would have became friends with this person. And that's repeated over and over and over. My entire professional life is because of this community of Apple users. It's what I do professionally now. It's also what I do as a hobby on the side. And it's because of the people and the relationships that I built going way back, you know, 20 years ago. And that's what I meant by I'm not a fan of Apple as a company, because it's a company. It's an abstract thing. I'm a fan of the products and the people that make up this community, because quite honestly, yeah, I've had problems with people over the years. Who doesn't? But for the most part, it's a great community full of very intelligent people that you just like being around. Not just because of the same passions, you know what I mean? It's more than that. They're just great people.
I don't disagree, and I apologize because I was fading back to 1992. You talked about 1995 starting My Mac magazine, and 92 was when I started Escape magazine.
Really?
And I remember hauling myself over to the local Apple store, an independent Apple store.
Sure, there was no Apple store at the time.
Yeah, there were no Apple stores at the time, but the independent dealer in town, and renting time on their scanners because I couldn't afford a scanner. And every time I wanted to get images into my magazine, I had to walk down there and get everything scanned, copy it over to my 3.5-inch floppy, and bring it right back home again.
And, you know, this community of people that we're talking about from back in the day is very similar to the community that we have right now. And people who want to meet other Mac users, MacStock is going to be a great opportunity. I'm serious. When it comes to these other podcasters, I've met most of them. And I think there's only two on that list that I haven't met in person. They're really great people. And the person that you hear on their podcast, that's who they are. This isn't like the morning zoo radio where they're putting on a personality and that's not really who they are. No, who you hear on these podcasts is who these people really are. So it's a great opportunity to walk up to someone and say, hey, I listen to you all the time, and they're going to be very much in appreciation of you saying that, and they're going to like meeting you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the show is truly an extension of our personalities. I truly believe that. And that's why we have such diversity in the podcasting community, because we are ourselves diverse. And our interests and our likes and our dislikes for what goes on in and around the Apple ecosystem, if you will, is reflected directly in our shows.
Now, usually when I do interviews, and I've got another interview coming up on the second half of this episode, it's weird for me because I've got two people on this episode, and usually when I'm talking to someone, it's the second half of the show. So I do want to give a shout out to James Gregson, who's coming on in the second half of the show. He's a video productions, videography. He does a whole bunch of stuff. He's a really great guy. I think you guys are going to enjoy my interview with him. And I do the three random questions with James. So I'm not going to do that here with Mike because it's not a true interview. Plus, I didn't prepare any random questions for you. So if anyone's wondering, because that's kind of becoming the running theme of my interviews with people, it's three random questions. I'm not doing that with Mike because really I wanted to bring Mike on to talk about OWC sponsoring MacStock and convince people listening to this episode that MacStock is something that you definitely want to come to because it's going to be a lot of fun. You get to see some OWC products in person that maybe you've only seen online. You're considering buying. This is going to be an opportunity to actually get your hands on them and check them out. And you get to meet some really great podcasters, some really great people in the Apple/Mac community. And it's in June. It's a Saturday, so most of you won't be working. If you're in driving distance, if you're within 5 hours of driving, totally worth driving up. Tons of hotels if you want to stay over. It's a great event, or I hope it's going to be a great event. We don't know yet, but I'm going to assume it's going to be a great event because Mike's the guy running it. He's really knows what he's doing when it comes to this. He's put together a group of people, with the exception of me, that people really want to hear from. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, I think most people, they want to have fun. And there's no guarantee on anything in life, but I think they're going to have fun if they come to MacStock.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's really just that. It's fun. It's community. It's, I don't know what else you could say about it.
Now, there are tickets available. How do people get tickets, and how much do they cost?
All right. Well, right now we are in our early bird ticket pricing that runs through the end of May. And you can get those at macstockconferenceandexpo.com or macstockexpo.com if you prefer the shorter version of it. And those speakers are going to get you all the speaker sessions, of course. We do have a speaker roundtable session right after lunch. It's going to get you lunch. And we also have MacStock t-shirts for everyone, of course. And
so I also get a t-shirt.
Yes, of course. You can't go to a conference without a t-shirt.
Well, usually,
let alone the inaugural MacStock 2015 t-shirt.
Yeah, but when I went to, even as a speaker at Macworld Expo, they never gave me a free t-shirt.
Really?
No, never. And if I was just, you know, going there to walk the showroom floor and maybe a couple of conferences while I was there, or speeches or whatever you want to call them, I never got a free t-shirt. I had to buy that. It was like another $25.
Hey, t-shirt's the first thing I planned for everyone.
Wow. That's awesome. So yeah, really $69 right now.
Yep. $69 is the price running through the end of May. And again, that's at max.conferenceandexpo.com.
It's a great price. I'm not going to say a free t-shirt because you're spending $69 to attend this. That includes lunch. That includes a t-shirt and includes able to meet and hang out with some really fun, exciting people. And hey, you might even learn something, right?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping I'm going to learn something.
Me too. You know, the day that I go to a conference or an expo and I don't learn something, that's not a show I want to go to again.
You know, I kind of try to make sure I learn something myself with every episode of the podcast. And so far, 320 episodes into it or so, that's held true.
His name is Mike Potter. The website, the two websites are for Mac Eyes Only. See, I keep wanting to say for your eyes only, that whole James Bond thing. So for MacEyesOnly.com and Max.conferenceandexpo.com. You're going to want to go to this. You're going to want to go to the Midwest Mac Barbecue afterwards. It's going to be a great day. June 20th, $69 until the end of May. So get on the website, buy your tickets now, plan out your epic adventure. And Mike, thanks very much for being here on OWC Radio. Hang tight for 1 second. Let me do this real quick. If you guys like good deals and you're a Mac user or you're an iPhone user, well, I got a website for you. It's called MacSales.com. Every weekend, we always have some kind of event going on the website. Right now, we've got kind of an accessories sale going on. So there's some really cool accessories at MacSales.com. All you have to do is go to MacSales.com, and you will see the banner right at the top every weekend. So make sure you're checking that out. But if you want to stay in the know, you really need to follow us on Twitter and Facebook because that's where we're posting the information first and foremost. So on Twitter, it's at MacSales, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/OWC MacSales. I would love to get feedback from you guys. I do have some, but I'm going to save them till next week since this is an extra long show. Send your feedback to owcpodcast@macsales.com. Again, Mike, thanks very much for starting up MacStock, inviting me along, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people listening to this show showing up to MacStock.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tim, and thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, stay tuned now for our three random questions with the next guest. His name is James Gregson. Check it out. And I am back here on OWC Radio, and as promised earlier, I do have a special guest this week. Now, usually when I have a special guest, it's usually somebody I have never met before. We've only communicated via email, maybe text, maybe a phone call, but it's not someone that I met in person. This is different. My guest this week, I actually met in person in Las Vegas at NAB. His name is James Gregson. We met outside the Las Vegas Convention Center, had a great conversation, exchanged emails back and forth. And now, James, I've got you here on OWC Radio.
Who'da thunk?
Who'da thunk? So it's usually I don't have a face really to go with or mannerisms or anything like that when I'm talking to someone. But with you, I can actually, I have a vivid picture of what you look like. That's odd for me.
Well, to my advantage, I fooled you the whole time to make you actually think I was, you know, worth having on the show.
You have, let me say, when if someone asks you what you do, how do you explain what you do? Because there's a lot of different things that you do.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of times I do the old, I'm unemployed and I sleep, you know, live with my mother. Just to kind of avoid the question because, yeah, I know. I do a lot of things and I don't sleep a lot. It all depends on who I'm talking to. You know, if it's just a general conversation, you know, like you and I, we're just sitting there just, you know, having a fun conversation. You know, it depends if I'm trying to sell somebody, you know, or if I'm pushing a, you know, promotional, you know, one of the shows I'm doing or something like that. So it all depends on the situation I'm in is how do I explain it.
So you do video production.
Right.
Videography. What's the difference between those two?
Video production, what I want to do and what my end goal is video and film production where I create my own brands. The videography side of things is, you know, I get hired to go shoot trade shows. I get hired to do anything, interviews. You know, I've done reality television. You know, I'm the guy that goes out with the camera and the camera crew.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's video production. I more step back and handle all aspects of
it. Right. You're the producer. You're the one creating it rather than being hired gun to come in and film.
Right. Exactly.
Editing.
Yes.
That goes along with, now, as a videography, is that usually editing too, or it's just filming?
Just filming. Oh. And what does make it great being an editor as well is, you know, I shoot for the edit. So when I come back, it's not a mystery of what I've got to work with.
Yeah, you know.
As the editor, right. And I haven't sat and let the camera run for 2 hours, you know. So I know exactly what I'm, you know, what I've got in the can, so to speak. And then when I go out, I'm always shooting for the edit. So I only shoot what I need and, you know, I'm editing while I shoot. So that kind of makes
it. You edit in the camera a lot, kind of a Steven Spielberg thing.
Yeah. It saves a lot of time.
Has anybody ever made a comparison? Steven Spielberg, James Gregson?
No.
There you go. Thank you for that. I'm the first. When you're up there eventually getting your Oscar for Best Director, you can be like, and I want to thank...
I want to thank Tim.
Graphic design.
Yes. Yeah, I got into graphic design. Well, I've always drawn, you know, since I was a kid. I was always a very, very artistic person. And doing a lot of my own production work, whether it was independent film or music video or whatever... I ended up having to do a lot of my own, obviously editing, shooting, and graphic design things because I just couldn't afford it. So
yeah,
I started studying graphic design and working with other graphic designers. You know, I had a lot of friends. All my friends are artists. They're all ADD, you know.
Yep.
So so I picked up a lot, you know, and had a lot of face time in, you know, graphic design. So I do a lot of studying on the side just, you know, it's taken me this long to get to the point where I feel confident in pulling it all together and actually offering it as a service to, you know, to other clients. That's pretty much how I pay the bills right now and fund the independent stuff.
So that's four things. And most people think we were done. That they think, wow, that's a lot of things. But we're not. There's also brand development.
Mm-hmm.
So you consult with companies on helping them grow their brand or identify what the brand is. What is brand development that you do?
A lot of what I do from the brand development side is I work with a lot of startups and people who have, you know, I've been in their shoes before whether it's a retail operation or, you know, a small internet startup, whatever, you've got to develop your brand. So I go in as kind of an agency and I don't all the time do everything myself. I will sub out, you know, I like to work with other people, but it's nice for me to be able to come in and do these things and be able to explain them and talk to clients and stuff. So I help kind of get a brand started, you know, everything from a logo design to, you know, package design, make sure your website and your business cards and stationery all look, you know, everything matches, everything looks good, and prep all of the artwork and everything to for use in video production, for use in prints, you know, and set up your set up the whole visual brand, I guess.
Yeah, because startups, they generally look at the solutions that they're trying to sell, or mm-hmm. they're supporting, or they're creating. All the other stuff, usually those guys aren't really good at that.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where you come in.
Right. Yeah. I come in to make it look good.
Next one on the list, motion graphics.
Yes. That kind of came in with working with animators mm-hmm. that, you know, other artists that I've worked with. I'm by no means an animator. I know some very top-notch animators, and I love to work with these guys. But when it comes to motion graphics, being, you know, not, you know, you could, the old spinning logo. So a lot of what I do is make the graphics move and design the graphics so that they can move. And I do a lot of After Effects work. And so, you know, if you have just a stagnant, static, I'm sorry, presentation.
Stagnant could be stagnant appropriate as well.
I've done some stagnant stuff before. all part of the learning process. But and being here in Las Vegas too, there's a lot of, you know, digital signage and things like that that's going on, and retail displays, and, you know, so it's just making static images move, whether it's a photo or, you know, a logo or graphics, you know, just things need to move nowadays. And then, you know, it needs to look good on everything from a mobile device to, you know, high def screen to, you know, to digital signage, whatever. So I kind of like try and think down the line.
Motion graphics is kind of the latest thing that I've noticed online, especially for like new movies and Netflix series, where it looks like a static image. It loads in a web browser. It doesn't load QuickTime or Flash or anything, but then the image changes. Like, there was one for the Daredevil Netflix series that I saw that it showed the cast, but then the shadow kind of crept up on them, and the silhouette of the character Daredevil was seen. And I thought, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the new hotness online right now.
Right, yeah, and a lot of, you know, web design and things like that, I'm starting to see them bring a lot of, you know, because it's going to take some bandwidth to get video to load. But if you do, like, you know, a slideshow on a website, and I've seen some people get really creative with, you know, dissolves and things like that, where you're just bringing in layers, you know. You can do some pretty neat stuff. And I think that's where a lot of things are going to go, you know, because you have kiosks and your phone, and, you know, it's just a neat way to suck people in.
And we all have, for the most part, really high definition screens everywhere now.
Right. Yeah.
We have to have content for that stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing how fast it's changing.
Overnight, yeah. It seems like web design is next on your resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I learned all this from out of necessity, you know, because mm-hmm. I couldn't hire somebody to do it. And I started getting into web design in 1996, HTML, you know, just standard HTML. I am by no means a programmer. I had to shoot myself if I had to be a programmer. I just cannot. I have friends that are programmers, and they love it. But so I'm more of a web designer. You know, I do a lot of content management stuff like Joomla and, you know, WordPress and things like that. Right. And we have learned enough about the back end of that to make it all work. And, you know, if a site burps like mine was doing earlier.
Yeah, I should say that I went to his about page and it was a mess. There was some weird plug-in.
It looked like, yeah. Oh, just technology, happens. It just changes. It's just amazing. And they'll come out like WordPress, you know,
there's two big updates in the last 2 weeks for WordPress.
Yeah, huge updates. And then everybody else got to scramble to see, you know, to make everything work and then make sure everything works with everybody else. That's just a world I would not want to be involved in.
Well, last week there was this huge vulnerability in WordPress that was discovered. And within 24 hours, WordPress actually had a fix for it. I have 12 sites that I'm running WordPress on that every single one of them had updates.
Yeah.
And then within 3 days, almost every single one of my plugins had an update
had updates,
as well.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to stay on top of it. And occasionally, like what happened to you today, little tiny things just mess up and, well, now I'm spending 20 minutes trying to fix this problem when it wasn't a problem just 2 hours ago.
Right. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I had to learn a lot of this stuff. And it sounds like you did too, you know, just to, you know, keep yourself alive, you know.
Yeah.
I would love to just, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I really would just love to have a crew that I can, you know, call on all the time that sit and just monitor my stuff nonstop.
Social media.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this stuff kind of all blends together. I mean,
right.
Social media, when you're consulting with a company, could also be part of web design, could also be some video production and graphic design and brand development and motion graphics. I mean, these things start kind of blending together. So when you go to a client, you have such a long list of things that you can offer them. It's impressive.
Yeah, and they like to see that too. Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of it, yeah, it all merges. It meshes together. And social media, you know, I don't handle people's Twitter accounts and things like that. What I will do is help teach them how to do things and to, you know, incorporate their social media into their website, you know,
and
work on, you know, do you want your Facebook feed in the show? You know, it's some very simple things that a lot of people just don't, you know, they don't have time to do. I just had a meeting with a doctor yesterday, and she's brilliant doctor, and they were just, their website looks like it was done in 1999, you know.
It probably was. They probably haven't spent any time updating it or anything.
And they're on top of, you know, they're in Phoenix, and they're on top of their game. You know, I'm like, well, your website needs to match, you know, what you're doing. So
a lot of companies, especially, internet companies get it, retail companies get it, media companies get it, but the doctor's office, the dentist, the veterinarian,
right,
the window cleaner, that it's a very successful business. They may not get it, or they got it at one time. They put something together, or they had their nephew throw it together for them. They put it up.
Right.
It's been stagnant for years. It has their old cell phone number. It still links to their MySpace page. And they know it. That's the thing. They know it's out of date. They know it needs to be updated, but it's very frustrating, and it seems very daunting to these kind of companies.
Yeah. That's why I like to use things like WordPress and then teach them, you know, do as much automated, you know, updating as you can, and then go in and actually just give them some training on, you know, here's how you log in, here's what you look for, here's how you back your site up, here's how you update, you know, you push these buttons to update. And, you know, if you can use a word processor and log into a website and use a word processor, you can run the back end of WordPress for the most part, as far as updating some content and phone numbers and, you know, doing blog posts and things like that. So, yeah, you know, clients really love that, you know, the whole thing that you're training them. And I'm not trying to go in and, you know, squeeze more money out of them.
Right. But, you know, it's teach a man how to fish, right?
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And honestly, when I was a consultant and I did a lot of these same things, I noticed when I taught them and I educated my clients, they were more apt to come back to me when they did have a problem than I think they would have otherwise, because they knew I was going to empower them to be able to kind of be the master of their own fate when it came to their online presence.
Yes, exactly.
And so if they called me, I know it's probably a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you also have audio, photo, marketing, strategies, and the catch-all consulting.
Right.
And yeah, by the way, I noticed one. I know you've got it hidden on your website, but I found it. And it's 24-hour on-call plumber. I found it on your website. You can't hide it.
Well, on my business card, I used to have, you know, I had the little list, and I try not to be, you know, make it so it was unbelievable, you know, too much.
Right.
But I had the basics on there. And then the last one I had was, what was it? It was a trash man.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, I take that in with the, and I always knew when somebody really looked at my business card, because they'd ask me about, what's the trash man? Oh, well, I take the trash out at our studio. You know, that's what,
Well, let's talk about your studio.
Mm-hmm.
The website, by the way, is Gregson. I keep wanting to say Greg's on.
Yes.
GregsonStudio.com.
Yes.
And I will have a link to this in the show notes at blog.maxsales.com for OWC Radio number 40 for anybody driving in their car. Can't write it on the dust on the dash of their car. Just go to our blog, and I got a link to Greg and his Facebook page, by the way. So what is the studio? What do you do there, and where is it?
We have just moved to Las Vegas. And from really, you're going to ask me that. I started out, I'm going to give you the quick tour here. I started out in St. Louis, Missouri. A lot of people have no idea where St. Louis, Missouri is.
Has been kind of on the news a lot lately.
Was right outside Ferguson.
Wow.
Yeah. And that coffee shop was where I used to get coffee every morning before.
Really?
I
drove it's terrible what's yes. going on there.
Insane. So I moved from St. Louis to California, to LA and Hollywood, and worked out in LA and Hollywood for a while. And then that was 2008-ish, 2009-ish, and the whole, real estate was taking a dump. All the production companies were going to Canada and Mexico and, other states. And so I moved back to St. Louis. Then I moved to, New York, worked in New York for a while. I met a beautiful young lady there, and we moved to Tucson to take care of my mother. And from there, we landed in Las Vegas, where I love it. So right. I've been everywhere trying to figure out where I want to set the studio up. And this is the place to be.
It's the place to be.
Yes.
This is where you're going to plant the roots.
Yep. Well, when we met, when we were talking, that was the day – that was set up, wasn't it?
Yes.
NAB? Yeah.
Yep.
And you were there taking a break, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go up there and see if I can get my badge, and I'm just going to go and walk around because it was 10 minutes. You know, I used to just love to go to, any of the big trade shows out here, and I'd wait all year, and then I wouldn't sleep the whole time, while I was here.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of surreal to be able just to drive up, park, and get out, and be here. So, but it is
the center of a lot of activity, not just mm-hmm. gambling like most people think.
Right.
Not just a party town. Las Vegas, when it comes to conventions and that sort of business, man, it's always happening. It's always hopping. Now, there's two or three that are much bigger than the rest, like CES and NAB, but,
right.
I mean... you're not going to have a lack of work in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's always a trade show going on somewhere, and it's a neat town. Talent everywhere.
I would imagine, and I'm kind of guessing here, that the cost of property, especially if you need something large, is going to be a lot less than it would be in, say, New York or L.A.
Yes. Yeah, New York was insane. L.A. was the same way. There was just no way that I was going to try and set the studio up in either location. And I stayed for a while and worked in the industries and got to know people and, did all kinds of just – I was doing anything, just to get to know people and get a feel
for the industries.
That's
the name of the game.
Yeah. So – but out here, there's a lot of – especially on the outskirts – there's a lot of space available, beautiful scenery. I don't know why more businesses aren't just flocking out here with all the tax breaks and space available.
Yeah, maybe you're just the spearhead right now.
Yeah, hopefully, or it's an idiotic idea.
Now, I am going to have my three random questions for James, but we're going to get to that towards the end of this conversation. So just to... make sure you got the heads up. You're prepared for them. I promise I won't make you cry on any of the questions. Well, one of them maybe. So, what is digging around on your website and your online presence? What is the Outer Realm?
The Outer Realm is a television series that I've been working on for a while. While I was in Illinois. I was working on developing my own television shows and things like that. That's what my ultimate goal is to obviously create my own productions. And we
as
were
a showrunner or a producer?
As a producer, owning the brand, director, I own The Outer Realm. It's my show.
Gotcha.
But in The Outer Realm, I'm going to try and keep this short and sweet. Ashley started out, we were in St. Louis, right across the river from St. Louis, in a place called Alton, Illinois, which was supposedly one of the most haunted cities in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be fun to do a documentary on this whole thing. So we started shooting and interviewing people, and it started out interesting, and then it just got turned into a circus with some of the people involved. You know,
a
and
circus
I'm just like,
as in it's funny or
oh
it's just
God.
Out of control?
Some of these people were just insane, you know, and I'm just like, all right, this is, and it started out great. You know, I want to do a real serious look at the history and interview people about ghost stories and the locations and just do really fun, you know. And our studio was in a haunted, you know, location. And so it was fun. You know, there was a lot of fun. And I always thought it was a great idea. And then I moved. And about that time, Ghost Hunters came out and all these shows came out. It was almost the same exact thing. And I decided to revisit it and make it a comedy. And instead of it being a very serious ghost
right.
hunt. Right. It is Reno 911 meets the Ghost Hunters is the best way I can describe it.
I think that sounds cool.
So, yeah, I've got Mark Dodson, who is the voice of Salacious Crumb on Star Wars and the voice of the Gremlins, and he's a real close friend of mine. He's the narrator, the official voice of the Outer Realm, and he's actually friends with the guys from Reno 911, and he tossed the idea out to some of those guys, and there was a little interest, but everybody's giggled over. Mark's on board, and we're going to wait a little closer to the season, and we're going to re-roll out all of our promo and a bunch of new video and things like that, and probably do a Kickstarter towards the end of the year, and then show at NATP in January, which is a trade show for television shows.
So you mentioned Kickstarter. Have you had any experience on doing anything like that before?
Yeah, I've been doing videos for people and working with companies and doing their Kickstarter videos and producing them. So I've worked with some people who've raised their money, and then I've worked with some people who haven't, you know.
So you learn what works and what doesn't.
What doesn't, yeah. Yeah, and I learned, yeah, it is not just build it and they will come. I mean, I don't know if you've had any experience with where
I
know anybody that's, yeah?
No. Well, I interviewed a couple years ago some gentlemen who were making a card game and card/board game. And it sounded like a cool idea, but they were very much luminaries in the gaming world. And
right.
I thought, if anybody could do it, it'll be these guys. Yeah. But the problem was the presentation on Kickstarter was quite boring. They didn't let people know really what the game was. They concentrated more on, you know, the people behind it. And I thought that was a mistake. And they didn't get funded.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what we're going to do, you know, just take a step back. Card game. Have you seen Exploding Kittens?
No.
Oh my gosh! Brilliant. These guys raised. I think they got a record for
really?
The most. Yeah, the most people that have. This is a Kickstarter, and a clean presentation. I think there were game developers or something, and went off on their own and just did this card game called Exploding Kittens, and it is. It makes you. I think. Did you just type "exploding kittens" in?
I put it in my show notes so I can look it up when we're done talking. Absolutely. I've got my loud keyboard going right now.
Yeah, it's. I thought, man, that is just brilliant. Talk about simplicity, and they raised all the money they need to do it. You know, and so I always go
I
back.
I think this crowdsourcing thing is amazing. There has been some horror stories from, not creative stuff usually that I hear about. It's. Pie in the sky hardware companies that,
yeah,
you know, And even some well-known companies like Ouya, the game company, the video game company, they had one of the earliest big successes on Kickstarter, I believe. And there was people, even to this day, that never got their promised stuff as a as an early backer. So I do worry that as great as it is, and these social media-funded type of endeavors, that a couple of crooks...
A couple of bad apples.
Yeah, is going to kind of ruin it for the rest.
Yeah.
That's always been my concern, that, you know, it just takes a couple really high-profile thefts, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And it just ruins it for everybody else.
Yeah. I think if you do, things are going to be more successful if they're smaller. So your loss isn't as great. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to keep... $5, $10. That's what I think the whole exploding kittens thing was. It wasn't expensive, you know. It was pretty cheap. It's like, well, if I, you know, great, I'll support these guys. If I don't get my game, it's not like I lost $500. Yeah,
right.
You know,
that's always my thing too when it comes to those. It, you know, when the minimum to get any kind of a reward to get anything back is, you know, $200, $300. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's always kind of, and I think most people are probably like that. Especially if you look at the backers, it really is a very long tail, and mm-hmm. most of the people are at the, you know, $1 up to $50.
Yeah,
and then it quickly goes, you know, a lot longer, but a lot less people.
Yeah. Well, I've had some friends here that just did one, that some people I work with, and it was for a motorcycle ramp that to load your motorcycle or ATV on the back of your pickup truck. Sounds kind of crazy, but they won awards for it, and they overfunded. And these things were like $500-$700 a piece.
Wow.
But they won awards at the show, at one of the car shows here and things like that. So they were pretty high profile, and people knew who they were, and they've been in business for a long time. And they're actually a supply manufacturing company, and, you know, import and everything. So there wasn't any doubt that they were going to follow through, you know. So I wasn't sure that they were going to make it, and I was just blown away by the fact that then when they did, you know.
And isn't it a great time to have an idea and to be able to – you remember the infomercials from back in the 80s and 90s. Hey, call this number. We'll send you our kit, and, you know, we'll help you fund your, and we'll trademark it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if you have a great idea, there's literally, it doesn't cost you anything to get up on a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter and bring that idea to fruition. It's never been easier, has it?
Right, yeah. My concern is, and it's just the paranoid side of, you know, even if you patented something, is that you put it up there, somebody's going to try and steal it. But, you know, it's going to happen. So for me, that's why you create a brand.
Right.
You know, people can't steal your brand.
That's right.
It's your Coca-Cola. It's, you know, it's your Starbucks. And, so.
And quality's going to win out in the end anyway. So even if someone steals your stuff, your idea, if they make junk, they're not going to sell.
Right.
They're not going to be successful. By the same token, if your idea, you execute it poorly and someone else comes along and does it better, well, that's what happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I get you totally that if you own the brand, how do you steal that?
Right.
And if they did, well, then you have a lawsuit.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You make money that way.
So let's go back. You're in, let's say, 11th grade. What did 11th grader James think he was going to do for a living?
He was going to be a rock star.
Really?
Yes.
Heavy metal or?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to
stump me on that one, huh? Yeah, it was. I still play guitar. You know, that's my whole audio background. I was working in my dad's speaker manufacturing company, building my own guitar cabinets and my own guitars and playing in a rock band and. You know,
you can't skip over. My dad had a speaker company.
Yes, family speaker. Yeah, my whole family's been involved in Tandy Corporation.
Oh.
And yeah, so my dad left Tandy and went and started his own audio and speaker manufacturing company when my brother and I were, you know, young. We thought everybody had a wood shop, a factory, you know, and that's what kind of sparked a lot of what I'm doing.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, he had a family. Mm-hmm. I assume he was married and had a mortgage and
right. Yep.
How many siblings?
It's just my brother and I.
Okay, so two kids.
Yep.
He quits. I'm going to assume a good paying job. I mean, it's tandy.
Yeah. Yeah.
To start his own thing. That's yeah. pretty risky.
Yeah, he put some money together, and you know, I remember we started in the basement, and then quickly moved to actually like 3,500 square foot facility with docking bay and offices, and then it like quadrupled from that. And yeah, my brother and I used to come home and you know go to work at the speaker shop. We were, you know, I'd grab him, and you know, I just started driving and go to work at the speaker company, making grills, putting crossovers together, complaining.
Well, yeah. I was kind of getting at also what effect that has on a young man watching his father. You didn't understand the risks he was taking back then,
no,
obviously.
I had no idea.
But looking back on it, you've got to be kind of impressed with your dad that he would do that, and he would have, you know, obviously the family support, and he was successful at doing it.
Yeah. I still look back, and, you know, we've got pictures and things like that, and I go back, and it's just, it's almost spooky, you know, looking at it, even the way they set the shop up, you know, and things that I'm doing now. And I start thinking, now, I wonder what the mistakes that he made were, you know, and try and go back and reverse engineer, you know, because we become our parents.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to do the same stupid stuff that he did. So, you know, I try and look through that. I've talked to my brother. In fact, yeah, this weekend, he came out and we had a long conversation about it all. And yeah, it definitely was why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, that's what started the whole branding thing, design. Because, you know, I was looking at the logos for the company and I was like, well, I don't like that. We need to change that. You know, I was doing drawings for the speaker designs and everything.
So you're – what does your brother do?
He manages a huge warehouse in St. Louis, Missouri.
So you took after your dad. You're an entrepreneur just like your dad. You mm-hmm. you went – not necessarily the family business, but the type of business, and in that you're creating your own thing. You're blazing your own path. You're not just taking a job and working it for 40 years and retire with a gold watch.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So is your dad still with you?
No. He passed away 91, and that's pretty much when I had closed the speaker company down. But he had actually – he cut his fingers off his hand – and
wow.
and closed the speaker company, and I didn't necessarily take it over, but I kind of picked up where we left off on the professional side. You know, they were doing like home theater type stuff for home theater was home theater, and you know, critical listening type speakers, and you know, really nice home stereo type stuff, and I wanted to do big PA systems and, you know, guitar cabinets and things like that. And we had started delving into some of that. So that's where I picked up and continued the business, and it took off. And he came back from California and went to work for me. So, and that was kind of his dream, was to work with his son. So,
yeah. Would he be surprised where you're at right now and what you're doing?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I think, you know, he knew I was a creative freak, so probably not.
No.
You know, no. Cause
do you have kids?
Yes, I do. I have one son.
So what does he think about what Dad does?
It's cool.
I bet you got every moment of his life on videotape so far.
Some of it, yeah. That's it.
So let me ask you do video production, stuff like that. What do you think about things like the iPhone and Android tablets, and that you can pull this thing out and record in really good quality? What do you think about these mobile devices, and has that affected your professional life at all?
I love them. I think it's a fantastic. It's not like shooting with a big camera and a big lens, you know, with the depth of field and things like that, but you know, for just getting out and doing some quick industrial type work, they're great. You know, I one of my favorite things from NAB was the Padcaster.
Yeah.
And I sat and talked to him for a long time, and we had, you know, conversations about all this. And I noticed that a lot of the companies that build the rigs and gimbals and things had setups for shooting with your, you know, a steady shot kind of situation, to put your iPad on, or put your you know, cell phone on. I know Adobe, I think, didn't they ran around the show shooting with an iPad on one of those stabilizer bars?
They might have. I was at the OWC booth pretty much the whole time, so I didn't see a lot of the other companies and what they were doing.
Yeah. That's what some, you know, I've heard a couple people were talking about that, that a lot of were shooting with the iPad. So, you know, they've got things where you can put lenses on them now, and, you know, and it's, I think it's awesome. I've done work for guys in Florida where, you know, they shot some of their footage. I just told them how to shoot it, and they shot it on an iPad and, you know, sent it to me, and we edited it into a commercial.
That's awesome.
For that. So, yeah, it's I think it's great. You know, it's got its place. It's definitely going to change things.
So let's say the Outer Realm or another production that you work on that you own takes off. What happens to the rest of the business? Do you let a lot of that stuff go? Or
no, I become my own client. So what we're doing is setting up the studio here in Las Vegas, and I'm servicing, you know, business owners, nightclubs, you know, anybody that needs my services. And I'm working with some other people, some other graphic artists and camera guys, and kind of getting to know people so that they're on call as I need them. If one of the shows goes, then I personally can start focusing on that, but we're going to be using the same equipment. We're going to be using the same facilities. We're going to be using a lot of the same people and things like that. So one production will basically hire my company to produce. So I'm kind of building in safeties. So if nothing works, production does not work, I still have a viable business and I can still pay my bills.
Always, you know, important.
Yeah. And if something does go, well, all the equipment and everything that I've been putting together, the technology, everything I've been learning goes into play, because it's all the stuff that I need to do the productions with.
Okay, James, I've given you ample time, a lot of warning for the three random questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, I thought what was I going to do when I was in 11th grade was one of them.
No,
but I guess
never.
That was too easy.
That's too easy. Now, these are questions that I've got this big, long list. Occasionally, they repeat. And I think one of these is a repeat that I've asked someone in the past, but I'm not sure, because they're random.
Okay.
So they don't specifically have anything to do with you, per se. So they're just completely random. And if it's something that you're like, I don't really, that's not good, feel free to say, I don't really want to answer that one.
Okay.
Number one, beer or wine?
Beer.
Beer. Which beer?
Anything that's not an Anheuser product.
Yeah, you don't like Anheuser?
No.
Well, you came from...
I'm from St. Louis.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
No, nowadays, I just appreciate a better brewed beer.
Someone,
you know,
told me
expensive.
I needed to try, I think it was called Green Tree. It's a microbrewery in Maryland. And won't actually sell it to me. The only place they sell it is right there. But a lot of people go in there and buy as much as they can, and then they trade online, because technically you can't sell online.
Right.
You can sell alcohol.
Right.
So they trade people online. And I've talked to a couple of people, and they said, you really need to try that beer. I'm not even that big of a beer drinker, but it's kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, me neither. Now it's just more for social and fun, you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing what we'd be doing.
Right.
Number two, and this is the one I think I've asked someone before. What was your first car?
Oh, Lord, it was a 1977 Ford Pinto.
Wow. That's going, wow. So what did you do that got punished? I mean, you know, obviously, your parents must have been very angry with you.
What didn't I do? It was my mom's car.
Don't tell me it was blue or yellow. Please.
It was blue.
Oh, gosh. I could see
a blue Ford Pinto. It had a sunroof, moonroof. And, oh, did I beat the heck out of that thing. And then I ended up giving it to my brother, and he blew it up. I blew it up at least three times, and yeah. All my friends had Mustangs and, you know, 69 Firebird and, you know, Camaros, and we were, you know, muscle heads. And, you know, here I pull up before
you
can tell.
Yeah, you made fun of your own car in front of your friends, but privately, you loved that car because it was your car.
Yeah, rat racing in Missouri, you know, back in the backwoods and stuff, I could lose him in rat because it was this little car and I could corner and, yep. So, yeah, you couldn't catch me when we started rat racing, but...
Well, how much of you kind of would like to have that car still?
I've seen one about a month ago, and I just busted up laughing, and I just...
Wave of nostalgia?
Yeah. It's just, what a ridiculous machine.
See, that's... I bet you didn't think you were going to be talking about your 77 Pinto on this podcast, did you?
Nope. Total surprise.
Last one, I think most people would kind of think this is jokey ha-ha, but it's not. And I don't mean it in the south of the border type of thing here in the United States, but do you believe in aliens? Let's say intelligent life out there.
Yes, I do, absolutely. I don't think that little green men are coming down in stealing people.
No.
But I think there's got to be just the ratio of
just a know, lot just of wasted physics. Space otherwise, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if we're it, if this is the only planet that has any sort of life, then what is everything else for?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Do you think more people believe that there are intelligent life out there, or do you think less people?
I think 50%? More people do. Yeah, I do. I think I even read that people, because I've been studying that stuff for the Outer Realm, because we're just not ghosts, sure. It's paranormal. So we're making fun of, you know, alien abduction and Bigfoot and everything.
What do you think that this planet would be like if we were actually visited by an alien species, who would obviously have to be more advanced than we are? I couldn't imagine. I mean, even Superman is technically an alien, right?
Right.
If we had an alien presence on this planet, I think it would change everything about this planet. Religions would change, governments would change, everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of disappointed people.
Yeah. but I think there'd be a lot of excited people too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think
they've ever made a real great show or movie that really explored that in depth the way I would like to see it.
Yeah, it's always, you know, the evil force coming from another world to destroy planet Earth, you know, is a typical Hollywood story.
Yeah, and then it's going to break down into a fight and advanced weaponry, and yeah, I know.
Right, yeah.
And then we use our cheap laptops to break into their super highly sophisticated system and plant a worm somehow.
Right, exactly.
But by this, yeah, I would love to see a show like that that really explores how it changes humanity. I think that would be very interesting.
Maybe we'll have to write that.
There you go. There's your next production.
Yes.
James, I want to thank you very much for coming on OWC Radio this week. Where can people learn more about you?
Right now, GregsonStudios.com is the best place. And from there, we're going to be posting out from that. So I'll be growing Gregson Studios outward, you know, from an organic method. So,
well, if I tell you what, if your show actually gets sold and takes off, we'd love to have you back here on OWC Radio and to get that story, to find out how that went. And I think that would inspire some people, because here they're hearing about really the beginnings of it and the hopes and dreams of what this could mean for you and your family and your company. And if it actually works or something else takes off unexpected, because let's be honest, that seems to be the way things go for everybody. It's the unexpected thing that you didn't put anything into that explodes for you. And all of a sudden, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation at that point.
I'd love to be on. It's been fun.
Thanks, Greg. Talk to you soon. Oh, see what I did? I said Greg, didn't I?
Everybody does that.
I did it. You know, and the listeners don't know this, I called you Greg at the very beginning because I was just looking at an email about something else, and that person's name was Greg, and then you're James Gregson, and then right at the end, I mess it up.
No big deal. It used to be Gregson TV, and people thought it was Greg's on TV.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I actually changed it. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks, Tim.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.